It is a Saturday morning on the mighty 790 KFGO, and that means that it's time to laugh and cry and write poetry and do all kinds of things.
Cry.
I don't know what. It's that kind of morning today.
Oh, is it?
It's just that kind of morning on the Mike McFeely Outdoor Show. Everybody, welcome to another highly rated, award-winning, very profitable edition of Mike McFeely Outdoors on KFGO. The other voice you heard peep in, and the reason I was laughing as we began this program, was the illustrious Doug Lear is in the house. North Dakota Game and Fish biologist and a very important member of Tom Wynn and Friend every morning on the mighty 790 KFGO. Douglas!
Morning, Michael.
Good morning.
It is. I don't care what a Saturday looks like or what Friday was or Tuesday and Wednesday. There's just definitely optimism on Saturdays. I don't know what time does your optimism on for the weekend, does that leave like Sunday morning at 8 o'clock or three? When does reality set in, like the weekend's over with?
Oh, I'm pretty good until 7, 8 o'clock on Sunday nights.
Really?
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Wow. No,
my weekend begins normally at 5 or 6 o'clock on Fridays.
Sure. Right.
And I'm okay until Sunday nights. I'm
really?
Fine. Oh yeah. I'm able to check out.
Is it out of the
life?
You know, honestly, for me, and not to just sit here and dwell on the negatives, but in college, I hated Sundays. Maybe because I didn't do real well in college. And it was like Sunday, you know, Sunday by like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, I was like, oh, man, you know, cracking the books and getting back to it. Sundays were almost a downer. Felt like the Vikings season year round.
You had to do better in college than most because you said, I didn't do real well in college. If you didn't do well in college, you would have said, I didn't do good in college.
I didn't do good or well. I didn't pick it.
One or the other. It doesn't matter. Let's get things
okay,
started.
Okay, let's talk about
later
outdoors.
In the program, we're going to talk, by the way, with Brent Gerber of the Poles and Holes Fishing Derby in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. And we'll talk with our buddy Katzer up at Devil's Lake, find out how things are going up there. This has been on my mind, though, Douglas, wildlife biologist.
Okay.
It has been cold in January. It has been cold.
Usually
I mean,
is.
I know. I know it usually is, and I know that we talk about this every single year, but it has been extremely, extremely cold, I think, more so than normal. We've had a bunch of clippers come in and vortices and all these other, that's plural for vortex.
Oh.
And all these other things have been happening. How do critters?
No locust yet.
That comes in April.
That's April.
That comes
when
with the
locust,
April floodwaters.
The
yes.
April floods and locusts.
How do critters survive this other than, you know, millions of years of evolution?
Well, depends on which critter that you are. And we get a lot of people after, usually it tends to be kind of maybe on the backside of the cold stretches, because during in the middle of the cold stretch, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, and that's when people were worrying about their own cars and their own kids mm-hmm. and getting places. And then after we pull out and they're driving across the prairie and they maybe see a few pheasants or deer coming back out to do a little bit of feeding, gosh, that had to have been pretty tough on the critters. And deer and pheasants are probably two very good examples in that. Deer have been on the prairies of North Dakota since Lewis and Clark and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And pheasants, for the reality, is a Chinese chicken. And they're a beautiful bird. They're a very tasty bird. But they're not the most intelligent of creature when it comes to winters. And they were never engineered to thrive in North Dakota in the winters. As much as people wish they would and they could, we're on the northern edge of the pheasant range. And traditionally, you could even see that over the course of time, maybe prior to the CRP years in the early 1980s, is that we would kind of draw lines with highways. And if you went south of Highway 200, which runs from like Mayville over to Garrison,
mm-hmm, yep.
You were in pretty decent pheasant country. South of I-94, even better, south of 13, south of 11, down into South Dakota. And the reverse is when you got north of Highway 2 from Grand Forks to Devil's Lake to Minot, mm-hmm. sure there were going to be pockets of some pheasants, but they were going to be very limited in their numbers year after year after year. When we get to winters like we've had off and on for the last 5 years, deer are going to be doing okay, Pheasants, not so much. We lose pheasants in a average winter. And if you listen to Terry Spees, in terms of snowfall, I think we're behind.
Yeah, there's not very much snow out there.
Right.
It just seems like it's been 15 to 20 below 4 days a week.
And that doesn't help birds, deer, or anything. They tap into their fat reserves earlier and more often. I've made the comment a couple of times that if we're losing pheasants and deer right now from this type of weather at this point in time, I'm not sure that they were going to survive to breed this year in April and May anyway. But what it does is it continues to wear down the animals that are alive. In past research has shown that deer will abort in the middle of a tough winter. Their primary goal is to survive, themselves.
Yes.
For themselves to survive. Where what we had 7-8 years ago in the early 2000-2005 stretch is twins were the norm. You'd see twins and triplets all spring long around there. So in terms of this weather and its impact on wildlife right now, the easiest way to condense it, it's not helping them by any stretch of the imagination. This is not helping deer. It's not helping pheasants. But there's a lot of winter left. I was telling a guy the other morning, I'm not a meteorologist, I'm a biologist, but if any stretch, if there was a possibility that we pull out of this winter in the middle of February, nobody knows what's going to happen February 15th
right.
on.
Yep.
We know what happened last April, and that was very hard on wildlife. If we can pull out of winter the backside of February and have a decent spring, maybe, just maybe. So I'm not a fan of trying to say that, oh, this winter has just killed all birds. It hasn't helped it, but it's too soon. It's too early in the game to say that it's really set us back a lot, Mike.
Well, and when it comes to weather and wildlife, it's one of those things where you can't do anything about the weather anyway.
No.
As a human, all you can do is try to stay warm and make sure your car starts and, you know, make sure your kids have proper headgear and mittens so they don't freeze their face and toes and everything else off. But when it comes to wildlife, wildlife for the most part have evolved to the point where they survive. They'll always survive.
Well,
somehow, maybe not in the numbers that we would like so that we can shoot them in the fall, but they're going to survive. I get more upset with the loss of habit, the things we can control. That's
bingo.
The weather's the weather. It's going to be what it is.
Yep.
But when it comes to things that I think we can control, which is habitat or, 10 trillion acres of corn or anything else, we can control that as humans. We can't control whether it's 15 below or not.
No, and you bring up a great point is when you look at going back to my education, my C that I got in genetics from Dr. Whitehead at NDSU, and it wasn't his fault, it was mine, is genetically, the animals that survived the winter of 96, 97 and their progeny, and the animals that survived the winters of 09, 010, 011, whatever have you, should be stronger and better suited. In fact, the animals that are wiped out right now, probably not necessarily for the long term. For that individual animal, not a good thing. For mom that likes to see the pheasants in the backyard, in the bushes, and in the shrubs out by Absaraka, not good. But for the future, it's the way the cycle of wildlife and animals, that's just the way it works, Mike.
I believe it's called survival of the fittest in some circles.
Yes.
Is it not? I believe that's the way it works.
You are spot on.
World. Let us take a break. Our first break of Mike McFeely Outdoors on this Saturday afternoon. When we return, Mr. Lear posed a very deep question to me earlier this week. Very deep, very philosophical. I was sitting in the corner stroking my long Confucius beard thinking about this for a long time. Before I answered it, I'll answer it next, and Doug and I will talk about it on the Mighty 790 KFC. It's a good thing.